course, it's Sunday, time for the Bill Harris Alice Faye Show, presented by the makers of Rexall Drug Products and 10,000 independent Rexall Family Druggists.
Good evening. This is your Rexall Family Druggist, taking a little time from behind the prescription counter this Sunday evening to speak for all 10,000 of us. The 10,000 independent druggists who have added the word Rexall to our own store names. You can always tell us by the orange and blue Rexall sign on our windows. The sign means that we carry the 2,000 or more drug products made by the Rexall Drug Company. They range all the way from aspirin to penicillin, and they're as fine and pure and dependable as science can make them. We independent druggists recommend them to our customers because we know you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Good health to all from Rexall. And now your Rexall Family Druggist brings you the Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show, written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Robert North, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Walter Sharp in his music, yours truly, Bill Foreman, and starring Alice Faye and Phil Harris. Yeah. Last week, Frankie moved in with Alice and Phil. It was to be for just a few days until he found a job. But a week has gone by, and Frankie is still in the Harris home. As we look in, Alice and Phil are discussing their house guest.
Phil, how much longer is Frankie going to live here? He's been here a week, and he's making a nervous wreck of us.
Oh, now take it easy, honey. Take it easy. Just relax, and I'll get you another ice pack. Alice, you shouldn't let Remley get you so nervous and run down. Look at me. I don't let
Never mind the lecture. When are you going to get me my ice pack?
Just as fast as I can roll my wheelchair into the kitchen.
Now, Phil, I'm in no mood for jokes. Why, you can see Frankie's taken over the house. He orders everybody around. He tells everyone what to do, and I'm not going to...
All right, now you're exaggerating a little bit. Frankie isn't that bad. I know one thing, he wouldn't think of...
Good morning, Mommy. Hello, Daddy.
Phyllis, it's almost noon. Why aren't you in school?
Uncle Frankie said I didn't have to go.
Why not?
This is the day I have to go down and pick up his unemployment check.
Well, of all the nerve, asking little Phyllis...
Mommy! Mommy, where do you keep the soap chips?
Alice, what do you want with the soap chips?
This is the day I do Uncle Frankie's laundry.
He's got you doing his laundry?
I don't mind, Daddy. He promised to pay me.
He ain't got no money. How's he going to pay you?
He said he'd give me a hot tip on a nag at Santa Anita.
Phil, listen to what he's teaching the children. It's disgraceful.
You're right. I ain't going to stand for that kind of talk around my house. Tell him, little Alice, he'd give her a hot tip on a nag at... Did he mention the name of the horse?
Girls, you'd better run along now. Phil, this is the last straw. I'm not going to have Frankie teaching the children to bet on horses.
Oh, honey, the kids are only making that up. Frankie hasn't bet on a horse since he's been living with us. He can't. His bookie went to Florida for a vacation.
Well, maybe that's right, but he's disrupting everything else around the house. And I'm going to wake him up and tell him that
Alice,
he cannot
please.
Continue to do...
Not so loud. You know Frankie don't allow any noise in the house until 2 o'clock.
Yes, and that's another thing. He sleeps till 2 o'clock and he expects me to serve him his breakfast in bed. And I'm getting tired of doing it.
All right, then why do you do it?
Well, it's better than having him come down and have breakfast with us. With him at the table, nobody can get near the food.
Well, you should feel complimented. You're a wonderful cook, and Frankie loves to eat your food.
I'd love to eat it, too. He won't give me a chance at it. And his table manners are atrocious.
Well, last night when I put the turkey on the table, he tied a string to his fork and threw it like a harpoon. He almost hit me.
Well, it's your own fault. You should have ducked when he yelled, "There she blows!" He gave you a warning. Look, honey, come on. Now, let's be patient with Remley. He'll get something soon. He doesn't.
Oh, that phone again. Probably for Frankie. Been getting a lot of mysterious calls, and every time I answer, they hang up.
They're not mysterious. Frankie's looking for a job. They must be business calls. I'll answer it. Hello?
This is long distance. We have a collect call from Mr. Frank Remley from Miami, Florida.
Miami? That sounds important. Oh, look, I'll take it, operator.
Very well. Here's Miami. Go ahead, please.
Hello? Hello?
Hello, Remley. They're off and running to the first aisle here. It's May Springback, 2 lengths.
Hey, wait a minute, mister. Hold it a minute, bud. Hold it just a minute. Hey, mister, hold it a minute. Nobody here called for race results.
Is this Encino 8105?
Yeah.
Is this the home of Alice Faye and Phil Harris?
Yeah.
They're coming into the stretch. It's me.
How do you like that? Frankie using our phone to have a guy call him long distance to make a book. If Alice ever finds out about this, she's going to throw us both out.
Phil, who called?
Victor Records. They want me to record a tune.
Oh? What tune?
Well, I can't remember the name of it, but it's great, honey. It goes like this. You'll like it. Young Johnny Jonesy had a cute little boat, and all the girlies he would take for a float. He had girlies by the score, sweet little peaches on the shore. But Johnny was a Weisenheimer, you know. His steady girl was slow. And every Sunday afternoon, she'd jump in his boat and they would spoon. And then he'd row, row, row. Right up that river he would row, row, row. A hug he'd give her, then he'd kiss her now and then. She would tell him when. He'd fool around, and then he'd kiss again, and then he'd row, row, row. A little further he would row. Then he'd drop both his oars, take a few more encores, and then he'd row, row, row. In Johnny's boat he had a cute little seat, and every kiss he stole from Flo was so sweet. And he knew just how to row. He was a rowing Romeo. He knew an island where the trees were so grand. He knew just when to land. Then tales of love he'd tell to blow until it was time for them to go. And then he'd row, row, row. Right up that river he would row so slow. A hug he'd give her, then he'd kiss her now and then. She would tell him when. He'd fool around, and he'd kiss again, and then he'd row, row, row. A little further he would row, just he and Flo. With her head on his chest, he'd take a few measures rest, and then he'd row, 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 just he and Florence. Row, row, row right into heaven. Row, row. He had no Johnson motor, so Johnny and Flo would row, row, row.
That was wonderful, Phil. I love your voice. Nobody can sing the way you do.
No, I don't know. John Charles comes close.
What was that horrible racket down here? Will somebody turn on the garbage disposal unit?
Well, if it isn't His Exalted Majesty, Francis the First.
Oh, Alice, I'm glad you're here. I don't like to be picayune, but I have a complaint to make.
You got a complaint. Remley, I got a complaint to make, too.
Well, you have to get in line. I'm talking to her first.
My complaint happens to be with you. You've been taken over here, and I've... Wait a minute.
What?
Where'd you get that awful shirt?
Out of your drawer. I was waiting for you to notice it. You don't take very good care of your clothes, Curly. This thing's full of moth holes. Look at the front of it. Why, this shirt of yours is holes all the way.
Frankie, you're wearing my peekaboo blouse.
Oh, I must have gone in the wrong drawer. I was wondering why Curly's shorts had garters attached.
That's my girdle, and don't you dare touch it.
That's the way you feel about it. I'll go upstairs and take it off. Garters are too short to reach my socks anyway.
Look, Frankie.
Why?
I gotta have a talk with you. We're getting a little fed up with the way you've been acting around here. Now, we said you could stay until you found a job, but you haven't even looked for a job.
How can you say that? I spent one of the toughest weeks of my life looking for employment. I started out Monday, didn't stop till the end of the week.
Yeah? Just how hard did you look?
Well, Monday morning, I got up, took a shower. Tuesday, I shaved and got dressed. Wednesday, I went down and got my relief check. Thursday, I spent it. Friday, I had a hangover. Which lasted till Saturday, and Sunday, I was so exhausted, I had to rest all day.
Oh. Oh, you must have had a grueling week. You must be all tuckered out. I feel for you.
Yeah. Well, then you won't mind lending me $200 so I can go to Miami for a vacation.
200 won't be enough. You better take 400.
No, I only need 200.
I know, but I don't want you to go alone. You'll need a little extra pay for the male nurse who'll take care of you while you're recuperating.
Recuperating from what?
From the hole in the head I'm going to give you if you don't keep quiet.
Frankie, we don't mind having you here, but I don't think you're trying to find a job. I don't think you want to work. I think you're lazy.
Alan,
and I think
please. Remember, I'm your house guest. And according to Emily Post, it's rude of a hostess to nag anyone but her own husband.
Don't tell my wife who she can nag. If anybody around here does any telling, it's going to be me. It's my house, and I'm the boss. There ain't nobody going to... I'll get it. Hello, Harris residents. This is the master of the house speaking.
Hello, Frankie. They're off on the third. It's kind of neat of you.
Hey, wait a minute, mister. I want you to stop it now. I want you to stop it. Look, I ain't Frankie.
Ah, you must be the guy Frankie warned me about.
Warned you?
Yeah, he said if a jerk with a southern accent answers the phone, I should hang up. Well, tell Remley you just lost $5 on wooden shoes. Goodbye.
That does it. Remley,
What?
That was another one of them phone calls for you.
For me?
Uh-huh. He mentioned $5, wooden shoes, and Santa Anita. Does that mean anything to you?
Of course. You see, I'm planning on going to Holland this summer, and I ordered a $5 pair of wooden shoes.
So far, you're ahead. But I think I can get you on the next one. What does the Santa Anita mean?
Well, that's a...
Take your time. Take your time. Break it up. You know, take it one word at a time, if you like.
That way I think I can do it. Anita is the name of the girl at the travel agency who booked my passage on the boat.
Uh-huh. Now we come to the $64 one. How does Santa come in?
He comes down the chimney like he does every...
Well, I'll be doggone he did it.
Hey, fellas, I don't like to appear stupid, but what are you talking about?
I'll tell you what we're talking about. Frank,
Curly. You don't be rude. Alice was going to sing at my request. Go ahead and sing, Alice.
Now, wait a minute. I want to tell...
Mind your manners. Our charming house guest wants me to sing.
But, honey, can't you see that he's only trying to...
Early.
Well, I don't...
Early.
Well, I'm
singing.
All right.
The snow is snowing. The wind is blowing. But I
I can weather the storm. What do I care how much it may storm? I've got my love to keep me warm. I can't remember a worse December. Just watch those icicles fall. What do I care if icicles fall? I've got my love to keep me warm. Off with my overcoat, off with my gloves. I need no overcoat. I'm burning with love. My heart's on fire. So I will weather the storm. What do I care how much it may endure? I've got my love to keep me warm.
That's a beautiful song, Alice. Why don't you sing another one?
Never mind that, Remley. Never mind. Look, I want to tell you something, kid.
What's the matter?
There's a limit to my patience. Now, listen to me. Ever since you moved in, you've turned this house upside down. You're driving me crazy. You've got me to a point to where I'm desperate. I'd rather have anybody living here than you. Do you hear me? Anybody.
Good morning, Philip.
Even him, and that shows you how desperate I am.
Hello, Alice. Franklin, I think I may be able to get a job for you.
Who asked you?
I did.
What kind of a job, Willie?
With the City Gas and Electric Company.
Hey, that sounds swell.
Oh, it sounds like a wonderful job.
If you like it so much, why don't one of you take it? I wouldn't work for the electric company again after what they did to me.
Again? You mean you work for the electric company?
Well, yeah, sure. Before I became a musician, I had a very important job with them. It was my duty to pull the switch that would turn all the streetlights on. I was with them for 10 years, then they fired me.
What happened?
I made one little mistake, and they let me go.
Why?
One night I got lit, and the city didn't. Besides, I can't take just any ordinary job. I'm a guitar player, a musician, an artist.
A moocher?
A moo. Curly, that hurts. Not my fault that I'm not working. Not my fault if I was fired by a certain drug company which shall remain nameless because I ain't going to give those ingrates a free plug.
Franklin, that's no way to talk about a fine company like Rexall.
Mr. Fay, I'll thank you not to mention that name in my presence.
What do you mean, don't mention Rexall? Willie happens to work for him, and so do I. I do a radio show for him, and I mention him every week, so you'd better get used to the name, Clyde.
Clyde, I can get used to it. It's that other name that goes against... You know, Curly... If you were a friend of mine, you wouldn't mention that name on the air every week.
What are you talking about? That's my sponsors. I have to mention them in the commercial.
I don't see why.
Well, what do you want me to do? Come on the air and say, good health to all from...
No, you don't have to leave yourself up there that way. Oh, there are a lot of nice companies you could mention. Why can't you say good health to all from I.J. Fox?
We ain't selling I.J. Foxes. We're selling drug products. 2,000 of the finest drug products that science can produce. And you can depend on any product that bears the name Rexall. R-E-C-K-S-A-U-L.
I always spell it R-E-X-A-L-L.
You ain't been with them as long as I have.
Now look, Frankie, as I was saying about Rex,
Curly,
I don't want...
I told you not to mention that name. I'm warning you, if anybody in this house mentions that name once more, I'll be obliged to leave.
Rexall.
All right, I guess I can take a hint.
You mean you're leaving?
No, from now on you can mention Rexall.
Look, Frankie.
What?
Look, we love to have you here, but can't you see you're driving us all nuts? I mean, can't you see that? You've got to get a job, or don't you want one?
Well, of course I want a job. But I told you I can't take just anything. It has to be as a musician and in radio. After all, I have my dignity and reputation to uphold. I cannot lower myself to take any old job.
I'll get it.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello, Remley there. Hey, Sammy, Remley must be doing okay. He's got a dame answering the phone for him now.
Now, just a moment. I am not a dame. I happen to be Mrs. Phil Harris.
All right, you got your troubles. I got mine. Now, you want to hear the results?
What results?
And off from the fourth at Bay Meadows, had to break his first pass by a length with Easy Glory hugging the rail.
Who's hugging what?
Easy Glory hugging the rail. And now they're coming out of the line with a roar map on the inside.
Inside of what?
Inside of the track. What do you think? Somebody be quiet, Toots. It's a two-way race as they come into the stretch, and don't ask me who's wearing a two-way stretch. That's the wire, it's warm up by a head. Sorry, Remley, you lose this race, too.
So that's what all those phone calls have been. Frankie Remley, I want to talk to you.
Something is amiss, maybe?
Now, look, you've been using our phone to bet on the horses. Phil, this is the end. You've just got to find him a job and get him out of here.
Find him a job with who? Nobody wants him.
Oh, you know everybody in show business. People like Bob Hope and Bing Crosby. Maybe they can use him on their show. I just don't want to see him around here anymore. Goodbye.
All right, honey, all right. Starting Thursday night, I'll take him over to see Al Jolson. Then Friday, we'll see Eddie Cantor, and Saturday, we'll see Ralph Edwards.
None of those names do anything to me. Could you take me over to see Lana Turner?
You don't have a radio show. What do you want to go over there for?
I could have a talk with you, kid.
I'm having a talk with you. I don't blame Alice for getting mad. Do you realize that you can get us into a lot of trouble by using our phone to make bets?
What trouble? Who's going to know what's going on?
Excuse me a minute.
Yeah.
Oh, hello.
I'm Sergeant Quillen from the police department.
The police?
I'm here to find out about bets being made over your telephone.
Oh. Remley.
Yeah.
Who's going to know wants to know what's going on?
What are you talking about? Who's who? Well, look who's here, little boy Blue. What do you want?
The phone company said you've been taking bets here. If you don't mind, I'd like to come in and look around.
No, officer, certainly. Come on in, look around.
Thanks.
Remley, I told you you're going to get us in trouble. Now you've got the law on
us. Oh, Curly, how corny can you get pulling a Keystone Cop on me just to get me out of here? This guy's a phony if I ever saw one.
Will you just listen to me a minute? Now, the guy ain't no phony. I got nothing to do with this. He's the real McCoy. This boy is Sammy Summons in person.
Oh, stop it, will you? I know you planned this, and it's a pretty low-down trick to pull on me.
Well, this doesn't look like a betting room. Who owns this house?
I do, sir. An honest officer. This is a respectable home. This is no betting room, and if you don't believe me, just ask Mr. Remley.
How about it, Remley? Is this man running a betting room?
I wouldn't know. I just dropped in to look at some of his hot furs.
Frank,
how much did you say you wanted for Loretta Young's mink coat?
Hot furs,
Remley,
huh?
Will you please be sure? Look, officer, I'm not a crook. Honest, I'm not. I'm a married man. I've got a wife.
I'd like to talk to your wife.
Which one? He's got them all over the country.
Yeah, he looks like the lady killer type. Tall, handsome, curly-headed rogue.
I'm telling you I'm not... Oh, officer, you're just saying that.
We better get this straightened out at headquarters. Come along with me.
I'm innocent, I tell you. I didn't do anything. I'm Phil Harris, and I haven't got time to waste at headquarters. I'm a busy man.
He's right, officer. He hasn't got time to go to headquarters right now.
Why not?
He's got a truckload of aliens waiting to be smuggled across the...
I've heard enough. Come on. I'm taking...
Oh, no, you're not. I didn't do nothing, and you can't arrest me.
Hey, wait a minute. Are you really a cop?
I told you it was. Now, Frankie, tell that officer. Tell him the truth. Officer, he's got something to say to you.
All right. What have you got to say?
Will he be allowed to have visitors?
You're wasting my time. Are you going to come with me, Harris, or do I have to get tough?
All right, go ahead and get tough. I'm innocent, I tell you, and you can't make me go. Nobody can make me go, and I'm telling you for the last time that you can't... Officer, put me down.
Alice and Phil will be back in just a moment. But right now, our Rexall family druggist has a young and somewhat confused customer.
Is it true that your middle name is Rexall? My pop said it was.
Well, Sunday, he meant that my middle store name is Rexall. A lot of independent druggists, about 10,000 of them, have that middle name.
Why?
Because we've been selected to carry the 2,000 or more quality drug products made by the Rexall Drug Company. And we put the orange and blue Rexall sign on our windows that tells everybody ours are the only stores that sell them.
Why'd you do that?
Because we know they're such good products, son. Maybe I can make it a little clearer for you. Look, you like to weigh yourself on the scale outside, don't you?
Well, gee, sure. A guy's got to know how much he weighs. It's important.
You bet it is, son. Well, it's a lot more important for Rexall scientists to know just how much all the different things that go into a drug product weigh. Not only that, they've got to know it right down to the tiniest possible fraction. And that's why in Rexall's quality control laboratory, they use a scale so sensitive that it can actually weigh the mark made by a pencil on a piece of paper.
Golly!
Yes, son, it's a lot of little things like that, all added up together, that caused so many independent druggists to carry Rexall drug products. And it's also why we tell our customers you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Good health to all from Rexall.
Oh, Phil, this is a fine state of affairs when I have to come down and bail you out of jail.
Well, it wasn't my fault. Frankie framed me with that policeman.
Oh, Curly, I didn't know he was a real cop until he carried you out of the house.
Well, then why didn't you tell him the truth then?
Well, if I did, he would have taken me to jail, and I ain't got no time to waste in the clink. I gotta be out looking for a job, remember?
Well, this time I'm gonna get you one. This Thursday, I'm taking you over and getting you a job with Al Jolson.
It's all the same to you, Curly. I'd rather be arrested.
Oh.
This is Bill Foreman wishing good health to all from Rexall.
NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.